This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Baby bottle pop.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Baby bottle pop.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Anthony.
Anthony.
Let's go to Anthony.
Anthony.
Oh, no.
Anthony.
I don't know why you're all yelling at me.
Anthony.
Hey. Hi, Larry.
Baby bottle pop.
And good evening, everyone. And welcome to ENN.
Ray Rowe.
Just on Ray Rowe.
On TV.
No, Michael. There's no TV. You know that.
No, Michael K.
And there's also no you. So I'd like to welcome you in on this Wednesday evening. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Larry.
Would you have the fin flu?
The what?
Would you have the fin flu?
Interesting. Larry, what were you saying there?
You got me.
That happened today?
No. I saw it in our lovely system. Uh-oh. I saw it in our system. And Ty, what would you say to the guy that called in asking we should have more callers?
Too much coquito.
You know, that happened yesterday.
Oh, man.
Now, guys, we have a fantastic show, and after the show, we will have coverage of the Liberty Bowl and the Texas Bowl.
Simultaneously?
Not at the same time. No, oh, okay. Larry. No. The Liberty Bowl is going on right now. You can see it on ESPN. AutoZone Liberty Bowl. Kansas, a 7-3 lead over Arkansas right now. But Don would describe it better than me.
Don and Peter with you until 7, and then we are going to have the great Brewers-Pirates game coming up at 7 o'clock.
Poor Don thinking that it was going to be you, Larry, or at the time, I guess that was probably Alan. Maybe even no, Dan Grasso.
I do think Larry was coming on after. And he said the great Brewers. Has a Brewers-Pirates game ever been described as great?
I think it was great by Don. I think the Brewers and Pirates had a tremendous game that day. And we could following us, the great Liberty Bowl and the great Texas Bowl. So we've got that. We've got that going for us, guys, which is nice, right?
Yep. Scouting can I just hear that one more time? Local teams. Scouting
can I just hear that one more time?
Sure you can.
Don and Peter with you until 7, and then we are going to have the great Brewers-Pirates game coming up at 7 o'clock.
You hear the moment where it happened. You hear the moment where there's a little uncertainty about what's actually coming up next, and then he sees, oh, no, it's not Larry Hardesty. It's Brewers-Pirates, but I got to keep this sentence going.
Hey,
but you said it with conviction, though.
And that's all. And that's honestly all we can ask for.
That's right.
Speaking of Don.
Split the eggs apart and break the frozen
rock. Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks.
It is time for today's ice picks.
You have an ice
pick? Nissan. Oh, sure I do. And by that, I mean pick against me and Don.
Right.
10-game losing streak.
He had the Bruins over the Senators last night. How'd that work out, AP?
Bruins, -1.5. They go down early. They're down 2-1, tie it up late. But that really doesn't matter, does it? No, by the way, Senators win in a shootout. So as I said yesterday, Bruins -1.5. You should take Sen's money line because I'm picking the Bruins. So if you listen to by not listening to me, you made money last night. How can I win you money tonight? Well, I'm going to go to the well of the Vegas Golden Knights. I think the Ducks are terrible. Vegas -1.5 is +158. They're in Anaheim. So by that logic, at +140, you can get the Ducks tonight to win. So I'm picking the Vegas Golden Knights. You do with that information what you will. -1.5, +158. We always try to go for value here in ice picks, and look where that's got us.
But the money line's only -160.
Yeah, I understand.
So you could throw a ton of money on the money line and you know, win it there.
We just love Don. I'm being honest to my friend Don. He loves the plus the value in plus money. By the way, how about this? Rangers get 5 power plays last night. Mika Zibanejad over half of a power play point. Rangers don't score on any of their power plays.
Oh.
So that was also fantastic. And had I known that it was going to be the Liberty jerseys, I wouldn't have even touched the game last night. So
yeah, that's been an issue.
I don't
Can
like
we
them.
Stop wearing those jerseys, please.
I'd love to.
That's kind of loud and irritating.
That's right. Thank you, Harvey. Thank you, Mr. Devils fan over there. That's today's Ice Picks driven by Nissan. Gift yourself what you've always wanted this holiday season. Not me giving you picks, but the Nissan Thrill of the Drive event. Shop your local Nissan store or NissanUSA.com. Hopefully we can get off the schneid here and get a win tonight.
Ten
on
straight L's?
Ten straight L's. I have two of them.
Knicks.
I have two of them. I'm like the Knicks.
Yeah.
Unlike the Knicks. And thanks for bringing that up, Ty. Here we go.
And, of course, Luka could just try to hit it hard off the rim and try to come in the middle of the lane and grab the rebound himself. On the way, hit it hard, rebound, batted around. It's taken by Luka. He hits! With a second to go as he hits the deck. Tied at 115. It worked! It totally worked.
Chuck Cooperstein on 97.1 The Eagle. Luka Doncic, 60-21-10. That the stat line, triple double, first of its kind in NBA history.
Wait, so Wilt Chamberlain hadn't registered that number before?
I guess it has to be the rebounds then, right?
It's probably the assist.
Well, the 10. I mean, you can't get much better than, you can't get much lower than 10 on a triple double, but over 60 points, the 21 rebounds, and the 10 assists for Luka Doncic. Of course, the Mavs win in overtime, which you could have also heard here on 98.7, done by the great Ed Cohen and John Wallace. Luka, after the game on TV, was asked about his performance.
60-point, 20-rebound, triple-double. 60 points, 20 boards. Never happened, baby. How's it feel right now?
I'm tired as hell.
You can rest later. You're young.
I need a recovery beer.
We can handle that.
How are you going to handle that, sir? Whoever was asking the question, do you have a beer handy for Luka Doncic? The man worked hard, okay?
Well, he's got a day off tonight. They don't play again until Thursday night, I believe, against the Rockets. So he could have that beer.
Why not, right? I mean, look, I watched most of that game, and great job, by the way, by our own Alan Hahn.
Oh, man, he was tremendous.
Who's back on with Bart Scott, 12-3. January 3rd, 98.7, the local, nice. The all local stops lineup.
Nice.
Local stops lineup for 98.7 starting January 3rd.
I think Alan Hunt's also going to be back on TV for Knicks Spurs tomorrow. I saw him tweet out that he's heading to San Antonio. I don't know if that means he's the color analyst again.
Ooh.
But it looks like this could be a double dipper for our old buddy. He was great last night.
Take some Viagra for the game, baby.
Alan Hunt.
Okay, Bart. we love when Bart can chime in with that. Hey, who wants to hear from Tom Thibodeau about the loss to the Mavs last night? Anybody?
Not me.
All right, well, it's happening.
I'm good.
It's tough. So it's a shame not to come out of here with a win. 29 seconds to go. Dare shots, offensive rebounds, fouls. So disappointing.
Coach, how did you wind up losing that game?
Well, we gave up and ones. We gave up uncontested shots. We missed some free throws. So it was a compilation of things. But you give a team a second crack at things, and then you foul, give and ones up. Doesn't make sense.
Look, we've talked about it a lot today, guys. Luka is a very, very special player. You can't allow it to get to the point that it did at the end, where hitting the foul shot, then missing and getting the three-point play off of the foul shot with, 4 seconds left in the game?
Mm-hmm.
You can't allow that to happen, and the Knicks did. And it took a multitude of errors to get to that point. Missed free throws, bad shot selection, turnovers. Two bad Emmanuel Quickley turnovers that come to mind for me. One where he passes up a shot to try and get it down low to Hartenstein when he had an open shot from the key.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
And then in the ensuing possession, he turns the ball over. And I think Dallas scored on both of those possessions.
By the way, so the Knicks, with 44 seconds left in the game, had a 99.4% chance of winning.
Did you happen to look on your app, Ty, to bet them live? Or
I wonder what the number would have been for the Mavs on the money line at that point with 44 seconds left.
I bet they locked it. They probably locked it.
Yeah, it probably was a locked game. Yeah,
they probably locked
right.
It. I hit my Luka 40-plus points, though. I didn't think he'd get to 60, but I hit the 40.
You hit that pretty quickly,
very
buddy.
Quickly. Yeah, pretty comfortable. I think probably beginning of the fourth quarter that hit. So that was, it was nice to win some money on the FanDuel app. Promo code Peter for the people that listen to this show. Promo code Gordon for the people that listen to Larry's show.
Absolutely.
And Ty, what's your promo code? How come you're not doing? Why aren't you doing Reed yet?
I don't know.
What's that about?
A good question for our sales team.
We'll get that sorted out. Tom, Coach. How was Luka on his big night?
The monster player. I'm concerned about, there's some plays that he's making good plays and he's aggressive, but we can't keep following a guy giving 22 free throws up. We talk about verticality and restricted all the time, and we keep whacking down. So until we fix that, that's going to cost us.
Put taller people on him to change his view, coach.
Or double team him.
Or double team him, try to take the ball out of his hands, do something, which would have taken time off the clock. Hello.
If you're a Knicks fan, you don't miss Reggie Bullock. All he kept doing last night was missing wide open three after wide open three.
It's true.
So was Emmanuel Quigley.
That's true.
What did him and McBride combined for like 2 of 20 or something like that from three?
Yeah.
And he did hit, and look, Quigley did hit a big three late in that game, but it was the only three he hit. So, man,
he gave me 15 assists.
No, I mean, look, he played a great game other than from three. I mean, really, look, I mean, I know they were shorthanded, and we talked about it. It's just so frustrating that it would have been better if they had lost that game by 20, like you said, Ty, because you had a chance to win that game. That would have been such a marquee win for this team. A coming out party for Quentin Grimes.
Yep.
But
down to starters. By the way, Steve Popper tweeted from Newsday, Knicks announced injury update for tomorrow's game. Jalen Brunson, questionable, sore right hip. Out. R.J. Barrett, lacerated right index finger. And, of course, Obi Toppin still recovering from his leg injury.
Allen made the joke on the game last night. What is it, Edward Scissorhands? What happened to R.J. Barrett's finger? I understand that basketball dribbling is important. You know, you need your fingers to shoot and this, that. How bad is this finger?
It's
I'm
lacerated.
Not minimizing the injury. I'm just curious as to what happened here.
Yeah. Got sliced.
What
it got
happened?
Sliced.
Did he lose the finger? Though?
Somebody reverted back to a WWF situation, and they had either nickels or a razor blade or something, and they got him.
It's the only logical explanation. Something.
Did he lose
something
the finger?
He might have. We don't know.
No, it's just
he didn't lose the finger. Let's not start.
Are we looking for R.J. Barrett's finger?
No, the finger's still there, but apparently it's lacerated, so maybe he can't bend it. I don't know. I don't know why he couldn't play. I mean, listen, here's what I know. If he was a hockey player, they taped it up and he went back out there.
Larry, if I know you, because we've worked together for a long time.
Yes.
It feels like a long time, in a good way.
Yes.
And whenever we have these weeks.
That's never a good way. Like, when someone says it feels like a long time,
well,
that's never good.
Me and Larry have worked a lot of shows during these weeks. Because usually it's I'm always filling in and Larry's always filling in. Now I'm on the show and I'm filling in, but we're still making it work. And Larry would always talk about the honey-do list that he would get from his wife because this is the time where he'd have more time to do stuff around the house and and fix things that need to be fixed. And we always, as sports fans, have to tell our wives and girlfriends or parents, hey, listen. I'll do all these things, but when the games are on Thursday Night Football, Monday Night Football, I can't do it. Well, guys, if you need a card, if you need to pull out the card of, honey, I'll do this for you, this might be this Thursday night. It might be the night to do it. Who wants to hear the injury report for the Tennessee Titans for the Cowboys game coming up tomorrow? Anybody?
I'm intrigued. Let's hear it.
Out.
Hit it.
Out. Ryan Tannehill. Jeffrey Simmons. Tackle. Nicholas Petit-Ferre. Sure, why not? Safety. Amari Hooker. OLB. Bud Dupree. Zach Cunningham. Dylan Cole. Both linebackers. And D-back Josh Thompson. Doubtful. Derrick Henry, cornerback Christian Fulton, and outside linebacker Denico Autry. Now, everybody knows that the Titan-Jaguar game in Week 18 is all that matters for this team, for both of those teams, because whoever wins that game is going to win the AFC South. I don't think the Titans are actively trying to rest people, but I would imagine that anybody that is injured a slight bit in this game against a Dallas team who's already better than them, needs the game, is going to rest in this game. Right?
You know what would have annoyed me? So I got knocked out of the fantasy football playoffs.
Mm-hmm, sure.
My best player.
Is Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if he'd been resting and while I was still in, I'd be highly annoyed. I know we're like, this is a different, funny, like, they don't care about that.
It's funny you say that, Ty. There's another prominent player in fantasy that has been severely affected by news that's happened today. But before we get to that, somebody in the Jaguar beat asked Doug Peterson, are you going to rest players against Houston this week?
Is this at all meaningless? I'm sorry.
Not at all.
Okay.
There's
no
never
a. Have you guys resting anybody or anything?
It's never a meaningless game. Never, ever, ever, ever. You play to win every game, and the only way I rest players is if they're hurt and can't go.
Is that right?
Isn't that interesting?
He has to be trolling, right?
Because I remember a distinct Week 17 a couple years ago, where Doug Peterson definitely rested players.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it hurt the Giants, and I'm a Giant fan, so of course I feel a way about it, but I don't feel a way about a coach doing what he believes is best for his team. If you want to rest players, rest players. It may not be good for the, you know, integrity of the game or the people that had to pay money to go to those games. That's fine. You cannot tell me.
You're a fraud!
No.
You're a fraud!
That you play to win every game when not only 2 or 3 years ago, I think it was, that you did that as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. Can't do it.
He's trolling. He has to be trolling.
Come back to us. Dave was so red hot. You see that on Twitter, Larry?
I did. Yeah, he saw his head explode, but I didn't know it was anything different.
Let me go to his Twitter.
And look, you could say that you've changed your ways and now you feel that way, but and look, I believe that Doug Peterson believed that he could win that game with the players that he had out there, mm-hmm, when he was a coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, but don't tell me you gave yourself the best chance to win when you did that.
Lied.
So at Rothenberg ESPN quote tweeted that comment from Doug Peterson, "This man is a big liar."
There you go.
Can't wait to hear
and
what
Dave doesn't tweet much. So, you know, if he's tweeting something, he really feels strongly about it.
That's
he's
right.
Not a big tweeter.
I can't wait to hear them. January 3rd, 6 to 10, new morning show, 98.7. 4 hours of Rick DiPietro. Larry?
Wow.
How long before we all have a station meeting about what we can and cannot say on the-
No, that will happen on January 2nd.
Oh, okay.
And then they'll roll in, and then he and Dave will you know, straddle that line. But that's why they're so good, because they always say something that's like, wow, it's crazy, wow.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Speaking of things that hurt people's fantasy teams. Hi, Josh McDaniels.
We're going to go ahead and start Jarrett on the last couple games of the season here. None of us is happy with where we're at, but we think it's an opportunity to evaluate a younger player who hasn't had much time to play. Talking to Derek, who was great. You know, he understands the scenario that we're in and the situation, and very supportive of the two young guys. Those three guys obviously have worked together hand in hand all year, and, you know, he'll do anything he can to help them. So, you know, that's what we're going to do. And obviously we're, you know, started into our preparation for what I think probably is the best football team top to bottom that we've played.
I have a little addendum to that report.
What's that?
So Jeff Howe, who is an NFL national insider for The Athletic,
sure,
just tweeted out, after being informed of his benching, Raiders quarterback Derek Carr has left the team with their permission to avoid being a distraction over the final 2 weeks of the season, according to a source. So this feels like a marriage that is headed for a divorce.
Which is interesting, and Ty, you brought up the Derrick Henry fantasy owners. Imagine the Davante Adams fantasy owners.
Oh my goodness.
Darren Waller fantasy owners, waiting for him to come off IR, not naming any names myself. Jared Stidham?
Yeah, Davante Adams. I don't feel bad for him, because he was playing with Aaron Rodgers last year, and you thought Vegas was greener pastures? Well, how'd it work out for you, buddy?
Against the Niners defense?
Yeah, that's not gonna.
This is gonna
go
be a
well.
Problem. By the way, with the announcement of Derrick Henry as doubtful, which we all know what that means based on the way that this is going, Dallas mm-hmm. is now at -12 on Thursday night.
Oh.
On Caesars, our beloved sportsbook app Caesars, and the San Francisco 49ers this morning, I think we're at -6. Yeah, it's at -10 now.
It's a big game for the Cowboys, because they still have an outside shot to win that NFC East division.
Yeah.
They need Philly to lose out, and it doesn't look like Jalen Hurts practiced today, so Gardner Minshew's probably going to get that start on Sunday against the Saints. So you need Philly to lose out, and the Cowboys have to win their final two games. Then they'll steal that NFC East from Philadelphia.
He didn't really look bad, either.
Looked okay. Threw a couple of interceptions, but... he put up, 34 points against Dallas? Looked okay.
Yeah, he looked all right. One more announcement at quarterback, and this one was kind of expected from Mike McDaniel down in Miami.
The approach that I'm unequivocally taking today, you know, I was on the phone, I met with him yesterday, I met with Teddy yesterday, I was exchanging ideas and talking through some stuff all the way till like 10:15 last night, then it was his bedtime, and so moving forward today, and you know, the whole team's approach is Teddy Bridgewater's the starter. This is why, you know, we thought it was so vital to go after him in free agency.
Can I ask you guys something?
Sure.
Mike McDaniel said they were going over scenarios. If Tua has a concussion, what is the scenario? He can't play. Did he mean they weren't sure he had the concussion yet, so they had to say here's what the plan is. If this is what's going to happen, then we're going to go this way. If that Teddy's the quarterback. I mean, Tua, what is this? Tua's third, you know, concussion, confirmed yeah. concussion.
Yeah, it's a
probably
good point.
Had four. This season,
it's weird because it took him till today to announce that he had the concussion. Like, people knew. You had an idea Sunday,
and Mike
you
McDaniel
should have known
said
Monday.
And today in his press conference, Mike McDaniel said in film session he kind of noticed things that in the game that didn't seem right with Tua. So he said maybe you should go get looked at. Nice to know he saw it on the film session, not during the game when he threw three picks against the Packers in the fourth quarter. Where it looked like he had no idea where anybody was. But Mike McDaniel was asked, has Tua seen concussion specialists?
No, yeah, I mean, they're treating it with prioritizing his health more than anything. Beyond that, you know, I'm not sure if it's really my business to go into his day-to-day. You know, just honestly, it's science. You don't want to, it's a private time for him to focus on his health. I mean, that's all I really want to get into.
Oh.
Yes or no would have been okay.
Okay.
You made it worse. He made it worse. It's like they're covering up. He made it worse.
Here we go. Gets better. Would you need to ensure there's no long-term risk for Tua's health to be comfortable playing him again?
This is a human being that I'm very much like all players. I'll do what the medical experts advise me to do, and I'm quite certain they're not going to advise me in the wrong direction when it has to do with his health and in regards to that. But that's, again, something that I'm not even going to. I'm not going to go in direct conflict with what the doctors have told me to do, which is just to worry about one day at a time and not project any sort of absolute to, you know, have him get information secondhand of whatever thing that this is just a day at a time process, that his health is the first, foremost, and only priority.
Okay. Oh my God, let's play a game, shall we? Larry, play this game with me, okay?
Yes.
This is called the one-word answer game, okay?
Yes.
I am going to be the reporter that asked that question. You are going to be Mike McDaniel. Coach, would you need assurances from doctors that there's no long-term health risk to Tua's long-term overall health in order to feel comfortable playing him again?
Yes.
There you
yes.
go. That's it. That and look, I think Mike McDaniel is a brilliant offensive mind. He's clearly the right coach for this team because of how lost they've looked offensively in years past and what he's done for Tua on the field. There are so many people, and I don't think Mike McDaniel necessarily is at fault here. There are so many people that have failed Tua health-wise this year, and somebody just has to get Mike McDaniel a better way to answer these questions.
Well, that's the job of the PR folks. And they had to know that this was going to come up. And normally, they sit down with the coaches. Okay, this is what they're going to ask you. Here's the best way to handle it. And you handle it that way. And obviously, that wasn't done. And Coach Ty, if that's any indication that those answers, if that's any indication of how long the call is for these plays, I can't imagine how long what the verbiage is for the play call offensively. If that was an answer, just all I needed was a yes or no. God, how long is this play call?
Like, of course, and can you look? And I understand where Mike McDaniel's coming from. Can you assure that Tua's long-term health will not be at risk by playing football again? I think based on the lawsuits we've seen over the last 10 years, the answer to that is obviously no. But to see a concussion specialist or to say, if he gets another concussion like this, this is what could happen to him. So we kind of have to think about his long-term health. I know that those conversations probably haven't even been thought of or happened yet, but a 42-second answer about it, other than saying, look, I care about the health of all my players, and of course we'll be thinking about the long-term health of our players, even more than yes, that would be fine. But I just feel like we, with this Tua situation, I feel like we've just been going around in circles with these answers. And it just does, I don't understand why it's so hard for anybody in the NFL to just answer these questions with some type of certitude.
Because they feel lawsuit in the back of their heads, and what they say could be used against them. So I think they're overly careful, but that's why your PR staff is there in place to make sure that you say things that may be vague or don't commit you to anything that can be brought back. So very simply, he could have said, you know what? I'm not able to talk about long term. I'm not qualified to talk about that. All I can say is we're going to do the best thing to put him in the best way that he can perform going forward. That's it. Done. We're good.
There were some good things in there. There was just so much other words that didn't need to be in there.
Yes. It made it like I thought my head was going to explode. So stop. Please stop.
Like, care about every player, want to protect the health of every player. Good. Great. Awesome. Those were good answers.
Yes.
I'm not going to go against the doctors and what the doctors tell me and whatever they tell me, even though they haven't told me anything yet. We don't know the whole story. Oh, okay. All right. We get it. All right.
Help.
Speaking of injured quarterbacks,
yes.
Nick Sirianni was asked about Jalen Hurts and how could it be possible with this shoulder injury that's been reported for him to be back on the field so quick, Nick, because he hasn't ruled out Jalen Hurts yet against the Saints. So, very simply, everybody asked, why?
If you and him went up and you guys shot baskets together, he'd whoop you. If you guys went out and you guys raced against each other, he'd whoop you. If you guys went out and, let's see, tried to throw the football, see if it was to throw it more accurate or further, he'd whoop you. And so his body heals faster than yours.
Is he going to play or not? Play. Yes or no?
Yeah, and with all that, it's probably not going to play.
And do you think those reporters who were laughing, like, was that like a fake laugh?
That was Don's favorite reporter laugh after a coach joke.
No way they all thought that was funny. Like unison, we're all, this is one of the funniest jokes we've ever heard before.
The way I put this into the system is Jalen Hurts is better than you. That's
you
what I call
right.
Nick Sirianni is, and look, Jalen Hurts is amazing. And what he's done is tremendous this season. I'm not taking it away. I would venture to guess that he would be able to return from a shoulder injury better than me. But that's just a weird way of going about
it. I don't think he's playing the rest of the regular season.
And
if the Eagles win just one game in these next couple of weeks, they secure home field advantage, which means he has until, at the very least, Saturday, January 21st, before he plays in another game.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'm not playing them.
Somebody else that's not going to play for the Eagles, by the way, right tackle Lane Johnson. He is actually delaying surgery in an effort to play in the postseason. This decision comes after consultation with multiple experts. Boy, we found so many doctors to give football players opinions on their injuries. Mike White went to 10. Larry, I don't know if you heard this. Did you know that the Jets and Mets, me and Ty were talking about this yesterday, the Jets and Mets saved some money because in order to get the hour-long consultation fee from all these doctors, after Mike White left the room, they brought Carlos Correa in to see if they could figure out his medicals at the same time. And both and all these doctors just said, no, Mike, we can't clear you. Carlos, we don't know what we're looking at.
Wait, so I'm disappointed he stopped at 10. Why not go for 11 or 12 or 15?
Everybody laughing along with you, Ty.
There you go.
Boy.
I'm here all week, guys.
You are. You're back tomorrow after the great Pinstripe Bowl.
Syracuse, baby.
Larry and Ty, you're back on Friday after what's going to be a tremendous, unbelievable Thursday night football game.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, can't wait. And that'll do it for ENN.
Hey!
On this Wednesday evening.
Nice job.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.